Cecilia felt a certain tension as she entered the stable office. Nothing she could put her finger on. Dear Marcia, smiling so amiably, and Poots, with an even more foolish grin. Slangsby, the head groom, with no grin at all, but something twinkling in the depth of his little blue eyes. Were they upset, perhaps, because she had visited two other breeding farms before coming here? They hadn't been that sensitive in years past.
Such a fortunate escape. We've heard all about it.
I'm surprised such a minor matter stayed on the news this far out. With the king's resignation.
Oh, as if you didn't have something to do with that.
Cecilia blinked, assessing the undercurrents.
I think perhaps my influence was considerably exaggerated. Of course, I was at the Grand Council meeting, but...
Marcia's smile vanished, replaced by her more usual expression, which had always reminded Cecilia of one of those toys with a spring-controlled lid that snapped tight.
Never mind, then, if you don't want to trust your oldest, dearest friends.
Marcia and Poots were so far from being old and dear friends that they made the phrase ridiculous. Yes, they were rich. Yes, they considered themselves the equal of anyone. She had known them for years, ridden with them, bought and sold horses in the same markets.
I suppose you're upset that we didn't come at once to help you. I'm sure we would have, except that we didn't even find out for months and months. And by then it seemed, and it was foaling time anyway, and it would have taken us months to get there, because as you know, we don't have a private yacht.
The explanation, like most explanations, simply dug a deeper and muckier hole in the claimed relationship. If they could know all about it so soon after the king's resignation, then they should have known about her collapse that soon, too. Foaling season was a weak excuse. No one would have expected them to load up a ship full of pregnant mares, and it had been years since Marcia attended foaling herself. As for don't have a private yacht, that was, strictly speaking, true. Their Fortune's Darling was well out of the yacht class, and might have served as the flagship of a small shipping company. In any case, Cecilia had not expected help from them, and wasn't, despite the clumsy excuses, upset that they hadn't provided it.
Never mind. All I'm really interested in is your bloodstock. Max said you still had some of that singularity sperm available?
What are you doing? Restocking the royal, excuse me, formerly royal, stables for yourself?
That was too much. Cecilia felt her neck get hot, and didn't really care what her face looked like.
Not at all. I am trying to do a favor for some friends who saved my life and assisted my recovery. Since you are, as you say, old and dear friends, I had hoped to purchase both sperm and time-locked embryos from you. However, it seems that other suppliers might be more convenient.
Marcia turned red. Poots, as usual, looked as if he might cry. Slangsby now had the grin the others had discarded.
I didn't. You don't have to take it that way.
Which way?
Cecilia decided she would let Marcia try to wriggle out of this. It might even be interesting, in a purely zoological way, to watch the wriggling.
Cecilia, my dear, you take everything so seriously. I was just teasing. Honestly, my dear, that rejuvenation seems to have affected your temper.
Cecilia let her eyebrows rise of themselves.
Really?
All right, I'm sorry. If you want singularity genes, we've got 'em. Sperm and embryos both. I suppose you're thinking of the Buccinator line you favored so.
Buccinator had only been the most prepotent sire of the past 3 decades for performance horses. Minimal tweaking of the frozen sperm gave breeders options for speed on the flat or substance for jumping. Marcia had produced, after decades of work, one horse not more than 15% worse than Buccinator. Singularity sperm would offer genetic diversity, but she intended to have top equine geneticists do some editing before she turned it over to her friends.
Perhaps you'd be kind enough to show me what you've got available. I'd like to see the breeding stock, then the ones in training, then the gene maps.
Slangsby twinkled at her, but she distrusted that twinkle. Marcia and Poots said nothing and simply led her out into the aisle of the great barn. Cecilia looked up. Marcia's pig-headedness about Buccinator aside, she had excellent judgment elsewhere, and this barn proved it. Down the long aisle, one sleek head after another looking over the stall doors. The horses were under roof in the daytime to avoid the assaults of local insect-like parasites, who lived lives too short to learn that horse blood wouldn't nourish them. The bites, otherwise harmless, were painful and made horses nervous.
The oldest live-bred singularity daughter.
Cecilia had seen the mare before. Star, Crooked Stripe, Snip, all against a background of seal brown. Common coloring for singularity offspring, because Marcia, like too many people, had a fancy for color.
Lovely.
She was, too. A good solid mare who had produced both ova and live foals.
I'm surprised you're still using her to produce live. Isn't it a bit risky at her age?
I keep telling you genetic wizard types that if you breed live, you get real soundness, long-term soundness. Of course, we've stripped her ova a few times because it's so hard to transport the mature horses, but the proof of the value of live breeding is right there. An 18-year-old mare who can withstand pregnancy and deliver a live foal.
Cecilia kept her face straight with an effort. Given the right pelvic conformation and good legs, any mare could do that. And any mare could get in trouble in any foaling, too. She moved to the next stall and the next. Marcia's idea of perfect conformation hadn't changed since her last visit. Sound, yes, but sacrificing elegance for it. They all looked a bit stubby to her, heavier in the neck and chunkier in the body than necessary. They passed under the dome at the crossing of the aisles and were now in the stallion end of the barn.
And this is our pride.
Marcia's pride was, of course, the closest thing to singularity she had been able to produce. He certainly looked like his famous grandsire. Dark brown, with the merest whisker of white on his brow, a powerful, well-muscled body, and the arrogance of any stallion who comes first in the barn hierarchy.
Very much like...
He's double-line bred.
What's his outcross line?
Cecilia thought she could guess.
Consequential.
Cecilia congratulated herself. Consequential had passed a curious whorl on the neck to his progeny, and this stallion had it. And trust Marcia to talk about the stallion side of the outcross line.
He's a real bargain.
At the price per straw of frozen semen that Marcia was asking, Cecilia didn't think he was a bargain at all. Not for an inbred chunk with all his grandsire's faults and probably few of his virtues.
What's his speed?
Not to her surprise, Marcia's smile vanished again.
He's far too valuable to risk on the track, Cecilia. His breeding alone, his conformation, show his quality. We wouldn't take the chance of injury.
Of proving him racing sound, of proving that his grandsire's unlikely speed and agility had come through along with a pretty brown coat and a thick neck. Cecilia couldn't tell for sure, but even from this angle, she suspected that his hocks were not sufficient for his build.
What's your price for singularity straws? They must be getting rare now.
Well, they are, of course. And we must reserve a certain supply for our own program. But I could let you have 50 straws for 40,000 each, of course.
As if they didn't already have all that influence they needed. Cecilia bit back the nonsense that wanted to burst out. That was only the asking price, which no one dealing in horses ever paid unless they were novices, in which case it was the price of their education. She wasn't stupid enough to take the asking price, but might bargain later.
So, you see what a bargain this one is. 62% singularity.
Cecilia had run into this before, the ardent preserver of ancient breeds convinced that concentrating bloodlines would somehow overcome the limitations of time and restore the glories of Terran genetics.
Perhaps I could see this fellow moving a bit?
Of course. Slangsby, put him in the front ring.
Cecilia stepped back to watch. Disposition mattered, as far as she was concerned. Slangsby clipped a lead to the stallion's halter before he opened the stall door, and ran the chain over the nose and back through the mouth.
So, not a quiet one.
With that restraint, however, the dark horse stepped demurely from his stall with an air of innocence that Cecilia didn't believe for a moment. He did not dance, which might have been considered unmannerly, but he walked as if on eggs, as if any moment he might dance. Cecilia hung back. She wanted to see those hocks close up.
He can be a bit fresh when he's been in the stall this long.
Cecilia ignored this. She was farther back than the longest-legged horse could strike. She watched the hocks closely. The stallion swaggered a bit, a slight sideways jut of the hock as the weight came over it. From footfall to foot lift, the hock described a crooked circle as weight came onto that leg, and the leg pushed the weight forward. She had seen, had even owned, lanky horses whose hocks moved like that, and they'd been sound. But the chunky, muscly horses, those were the ones to watch. Those were the ones who needed rock-solid hocks. She knew she wouldn't buy a straw of this one's semen. She might as well tell Marcia now. But that wasn't how the game was played. She strolled on and took one of the comfortable padded seats just outside the display ring. Slangsby unlooped the chain and clipped on a long line instead of the short lead. The stallion moved out on the line, circled Slangsby at a mincing trot, and exploded suddenly in a flurry of hooves and tail, storming around in a gallop, then flinging himself in the air, bucking. Slangsby snapped the lead, and he quieted to a tight canter, then to a trot, slightly more relaxed than before.
So athletic. So balanced.
Cecilia watched the hind legs swing forward, back, never quite reaching under as far as she liked. She began to think what it would cost to fiddle the singularity sperm along. She'd need top equine gene sculptors, and the best were in the Guernsey Republic, where a healthy racing industry supported them. It might be simpler to go there in the first place and not bother with Marcia's over-muscled stock, but the Guernsey concentrated on lighter-boned flat racers. The rest of the afternoon, as she watched one horse after another, half her mind was wandering off to Rotterdam and the Guernsey Republic. That brought up the last discussion she'd had with her doctors.
You are physically a young woman again. Your body is in peak condition. But rejuvenation doesn't make your mind forget all it's learned. You are not in your early 30s. You are, in your experience, between 80 and 90. You will find you want to use your new body in ways that satisfy your mature mind.
She had not imagined what that might mean. What was she to do with the abundant energy that now made her restless? The Huerin trials had shown that she could be competitive. She was sure she could regain the championship. She had swum easily against the strongest current the yacht's pool provided, refreshed and not tired by an hour's swim. Pater's revelations of a rejuvenant click didn't attract her, except when younger people were being especially tiresome. But they were more tiresome now than when her aging body had left her with less energy to express her irritation. She considered her family. Would young Ronnie have been so feckless if his parents had not been rejuvenants? Parents who knew they would live forever didn't want competition from their children. Might be glad if the children were too immature at 20 or even 30 to be given responsibility. Were the rejuvenants heading for a society in which the young would have no opportunity to develop mature judgment? The youngsters had done well enough when they had to, when they had the chance, like Brunn, to demonstrate the maturity they should have.
Would you like to try out some of his git?
Cecilia yanked herself back to the present, where the chestnut stallion posed in the ring, showing off his muscles. The singularity line, whatever its structural faults, had never been short of showy personality. Would she like to ride one? She thought of Marcia's past and her past, and the way she always felt on a horse. No contest. It was never any contest. She always wanted to ride a live horse, even a bad horse.